Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place? Like love and loyalty are pulling you in opposite directions? Well, that's kind of the heart of Warrior of the Drowned Empire, this epic fantasy novel we're diving into today.
Really gets you thinking, huh?
Totally. It's by Frankie Diane Malice, by the
Oh,
way.
yeah, I loved her other books.
Oh, you read those? Oh, cool. So anyway, hit that like and subscribe button because this deep dive is going to be a wild ride. Oh, and you can find a link to the book down in the description if you want to check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
All right. So without spoiling too much, imagine this. A warrior named Lyrianna, who's struggling to control these like crazy new powers. And then we have Ryan, this exiled prince who's hiding a huge secret.
Ooh, a secret.
And they're both caught up in this prophecy about the Vallelumir.
The Valar-Lumir, right.
This artifact that like everyone wants to get their hands on. Okay, so let's break this down. The story starts off with Lyrianna in a really tough spot. Ryan's father, Devon Hart, who's the Imperator of the North, is blackmailing her. He wants her to steal his shard of the Vallelumir. But get this, she has to steal it from the Emperor himself.
Talk about pressure.
It's crazy, right? What I find fascinating is how Malice, the author, just throws us into the deep end right away. Like, boom, here's Lyrianna. She's in this impossible situation.
Yeah, and you immediately feel for her.
You're right there with her, feeling the pressure. It's not your typical chosen one
Yeah,
story.
not at all.
It's more like you're chosen, now deal with it. And it sets the tone for the whole book, this feeling of power and manipulation.
It's really dark.
It is. And speaking of high stakes, the Vallelumir itself is more than just some random object.
But aren't
It's
rare.
not just some, shiny thing everyone's after. There's this whole prophecy that says it holds the key to like restoring balance to the world.
Huge implications, right?
Yeah. But it's also been shattered.
Oh
Yeah. So
no.
each piece becomes super important.
Everyone wants a piece.
Right. It's like a bargaining chip. Whoever has a shard has power.
And that makes it really dangerous.
Exactly. It's like this symbol of hope, but also a huge source of conflict.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Exactly. And then to make things even more complicated, we find out Ryan, Lyrianna's love interest, he's hiding something too.
Another secret?
I know, right? He's Vorak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that means he can read minds.
Whoa, that's intense.
I know. But in this world, being Vorak, it's not a good thing.
It's scary, right?
People are terrified of them. They
For
see them as
it's
monsters.
like they're ostracized.
Exactly. And that makes Ryan's character so interesting.
It's tragic almost.
Yeah. He's this powerful person, but he's also feared and hated.
Makes you think about how we treat those who are different.
For sure. And it puts a strain on his relationship with Lyrianna.
Of course, imagine the trust issues.
Right. You're falling for someone who can hear your every thought.
That's got to be tough.
And on top of that, she has to keep his secret.
It's a forbidden love story.
It is. And what's so cool is that it's not just some side plot.
No, it's woven into the whole story.
Right, their love is constantly being tested by all the political drama and the
It
danger.
makes you root for them even more.
Definitely. So we have these crazy power struggles, this forbidden romance, and a prophecy that could change everything. But it's the characters that really make this book amazing.
Oh, yeah, they're so well
They
developed.
feel real, they have flaws, they make
They're
mistakes.
human.
Exactly. Like Lyrianna, she's this tough warrior, but she's also vulnerable.
And she's impulsive.
Yeah, and she's trying to figure out her powers. It's something a lot of people can relate to, that internal struggle.
I think so too.
And then there's your sister, Mira. She seems sweet and innocent at first, but then you realize there's more to her.
There's always more than meets the eye.
Exactly. And she has her own secrets, her own connection to the past.
She's not just a sidekick.
No, she's a full-fledged character. And then we have Tristan, who's caught up in all the political stuff, and Jules, Lyrianna's best friend, who's been a prisoner for years.
That's like a whole cast of characters.
It is. And each one adds something to the story.
Each one has their own part to play.
Exactly. One thing that really gets to me is how Lyrianna struggles with her powers.
Oh, yeah, those
She
power
has this
left.
incredible strength, like a goddess or something.
Almost overwhelming.
It is. But it comes at a price. It drains her. She's in pain. It leaves her vulnerable.
There's always a cost.
Right. It's not just like poof, she's all powerful. She has to think. She has to be careful.
Makes it more realistic, I think.
Definitely. And it shows how power can be both a gift and a curse.
It's a double-edged sword, for sure.
And then there's the world itself.
The world building is amazing.
It's this huge empire with a rich history, different cultures, political factions, everything.
So much detail.
I know. Like, the book talks about the empiric chain of command, that's their government, and different countries like Lemuria and Bamaria.
Oh, I loved those descriptions.
Right. It's like you're transported to another world. Mm-hmm. But it also feels familiar. Like, they have power struggles and social hierarchies just like we do.
It's a reflection of our own world in a way.
It is. And that's one of the things I love about fantasy, how it can explore real world issues in this fantastical setting.
It makes you think about things in a new way.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, the book is also just a ton of fun. There's action, there's romance, there are twists and turns you don't see coming.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Totally.
Ugh.
But it's not just mindless entertainment.
No, there's depth to it.
Right. It makes you think about identity, about belonging, about power, about the choices we make.
It's thought-provoking.
It is. So we've just scratched the surface here, but I think it's safe to say that Warrior of the Drowned Empire is more than just a fantasy novel.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a story that stays with you, a story that makes you think, a story that leaves you wanting more.
It's a story that will stay with you long after you finish reading it.
All right, let's dive a little deeper into some of the specifics.
Yeah.
One thing that I found really cool was the Lumerian language. They have these phrases scattered throughout the book.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tovaya Maisha means congratulations. And then there's Mesha Meka, which translates to my soul, my heart.
It's so beautiful.
It is. What do you think about those little details?
I think they're a great way to immerse you in the culture.
Yeah, like you're really there.
It's not just decoration. You get a glimpse into how the Lumerians see the world, like Mesha, Meka. It shows how much emphasis they put on love and connection.
Right, it's more than just words.
Exactly. And speaking of details, the book really doesn't shy away from showing us how power works, all the political maneuvering behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, all the scheming.
You see the different factions fighting for control, the manipulation, the impact it has on everyone, like the Bamarian Council. They're supposed to be these powerful leaders, but...
But they're just looking out for themselves.
Exactly. It's so true to life, isn't it? How those in power often prioritize their own interests.
It's a classic power dynamic.
It is. And it creates this constant tension, this feeling that you can't trust anyone.
Oh, yeah. There are betrayals everywhere.
It's like a chess game. With everyone trying to outmaneuver each other.
And the stakes are so high.
Life or death, even.
It's scary, but it's also really exciting.
It keeps you guessing.
For sure. And as we get deeper into the story, we start to understand just how fragile everything is.
Like the balance of power could shift at any moment.
Right. And that's where the Valamir becomes even more important. It's not just a powerful object. It represents this lost era of peace and harmony.
A lost utopia.
Exactly. And the quest to bring the shards back together, it's like a symbol of hope for the Empire.
It's their chance to heal.
It's their chance to fix what's broken.
And to rebuild.
And that idea of healing, it applies to the characters too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
They're all dealing with trauma, with emotional scars.
They've all been through so much.
Like Ryan, he's been exiled. He's faced so much prejudice. He's constantly afraid of being exposed.
It's shaped who he is.
It has. And Lyriana, she's dealing with the blackmail, the pressure of her powers, all the life or death choices.
It's a heavy burden to carry.
And even Mira, who seemed so carefree at first.
Right.
She has her own traumas that we learn about later.
Everyone has their own battles to fight.
And it's so relatable because we all have our own burdens.
We all have things we're carrying.
But what's beautiful is that they find strength in each other.
They support each other.
Right. They form these bonds that help them heal.
It's a reminder that we're not meant to go through tough times alone.
We need each other.
We do. We need those connections, those relationships.
And that's something that Malice explores so well in this book, the different forms of love.
Oh, yeah. It's not just romantic love.
No, it's so much more than that.
It's about family, about friendship, about loyalty.
Exactly. Like with Lyriana and Ryan, their love is tested in so many ways.
It's a love that's forged in fire.
And it makes it even stronger.
Definitely. And then there's the love between Lyriana and Mira. The sisterly bond.
It's unbreakable.
They're always there for each other.
No matter what. And then you have the friendships. Like with Jules, they've known each other since they were kids.
It's a deep bond.
It's a bond that's been through so much.
And it's still strong.
It's a reminder that friendships can be just as powerful as any other kind of love.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But there's still so much more to unpack.
Oh, yeah. We've only just scratched the surface.
We have. What stood out to you so far? What are your initial thoughts on Warrior of the Drowned Empire?
That's a good question.
Let us know in the comments. We want to hear your theories, your predictions, your favorite moments.
Yeah, we love hearing from you guys.
And don't forget to share this with your friends who love fantasy.
Yeah, spread the word.
Stay tuned for the next part of our discussion where we'll dive even deeper.
We'll be back soon. You know, one of the things that really struck me when I was rereading this book,
yeah,
is how the Lumerian Empire, it's like a microcosm of our own world, you know?
Right.
Like, they're dealing with all the same stuff we are.
Really?
Yeah, like political corruption.
Oh, wow.
Social inequality, you know, the struggle for resources. Like,
yeah,
it's all there.
Wow.
And this clash between tradition and, like, progress, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a world where the people in power,
right,
they're kind of like, they put their own interests first,
yeah,
above the needs of everyone else.
Totally.
And prejudice and fear, they lead to violence and oppression. It's
it's pretty dark.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't really thought about it like that before.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, I can totally see those parallels.
Right.
Like, remember the Bemarian Council?
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Those nobles?
Yeah.
They seem more worried about keeping their own power
than actually helping anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like the elite,
right,
who benefit from things staying the same,
even if it hurts everyone else.
Exactly. Like, we see that all the time.
Yeah, we do. It's
right.
It's crazy.
It is.
And then you had the whole thing with the Vorak.
Oh, yeah. There.
They're just hated for being different.
Just for who they are.
That's like a perfect example of how we treat people who are different.
It is. It's like that us versus them mentality, you know, where fear and ignorance, they lead to prejudice and discrimination.
Yeah.
Ryan's struggle to be accepted in a world that fears him. It's just...
It's heartbreaking.
It is. And it's so relatable, you know, because we've all felt like an outsider at some point.
We have.
Judged for something we can't control.
Absolutely.
It's a universal experience, you know.
And it's not just about the Vorak either.
Right.
There are other groups in the empire who face discrimination.
Yeah, for sure.
Based on their class or their gender or their beliefs.
It's like Malice is using this fantasy world to show us what's happening in our own world.
Right.
It's like a reflection.
Yeah, it's really clever.
That's what makes fantasy so powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it lets us look at these issues.
From a different perspective.
Yeah, from a safe distance almost.
Right.
And Malice does it so well, you know.
She does.
With the allegories and metaphors.
Yeah.
She can explore these really complex themes in a way that makes you think, but it's still enjoyable to read.
Yeah, it's not preachy at all.
No, not at all.
It's very subtle.
Okay, so we've talked about the political and social parallels.
Yeah.
But what about the magic system?
Oh, yeah, the magic system. It's not just like spells and potions.
No, no, it's way more than that.
There's like a whole logic to it.
Yeah, it's very well thought out.
It has rules and limitations.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a source of power, you know?
Yeah.
It can be really dangerous, too.
And it comes at a cost.
Right? Like with Lyrianna, she has that incredible strength.
Mm-hmm.
But it leaves her... exhausted.
Drained and in pain.
Vulnerable, yeah.
It's not like she can just use it all the time.
Right, she has to be strategic.
Yeah.
She has to think about the consequences.
It makes it more interesting that way.
Definitely.
And that's where the Valalunar comes in again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It represents balance.
The balance that's missing in the world.
Like, it's a symbol of harmony and unity.
Yeah.
Something that they've lost.
A lost potential.
Exactly.
And trying to bring the shards back together.
Yeah.
It's like a metaphor for the character's journey.
It is.
Their own personal journeys, too.
They're not just looking for a thing. They're looking for something deeper.
They're looking for meaning.
Yeah.
And purpose.
And a way to heal.
From the past.
Yeah.
And create a better future.
And speaking of healing. Let's talk about trauma for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just physical wounds, right?
It's emotional, too.
The characters are carrying all these emotional scars.
Yeah, it's like their past experiences are shaping who they are now.
Exactly, like with Ryan.
Yeah.
The exile, the prejudice, the fear. It's all there.
It's made him who he is.
Yeah.
Both the good and the bad.
And then there's Lyrianna.
Yeah.
Dealing with the blackmail.
Yeah.
The pressure of her powers.
The responsibility of it all.
Yeah. And having to make these huge decisions.
Life or death.
Yeah.
It's a lot to handle.
And even Mira.
Yeah.
She seems so innocent at first.
Right.
But then we learn that she's got her own stuff going.
Her own trauma.
And like Malice is showing us that everyone has something.
Everyone has a story.
Yeah. Everyone's struggling with something.
And those struggles aren't always visible, you know?
No, they're not.
But they're there.
It makes the characters feel so real.
It does. It makes them relatable.
Because we're all going through stuff.
We are.
But they find a way to keep going.
They do.
They're resilient.
They are.
And they find strength in each other.
Yeah, that's the key.
Right.
They're not alone in this.
They have each other.
They do.
And that's what helps them heal.
That connection, that support.
It's so important.
It is.
One thing that really stands out to me about this book is how it portrays love.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many different kinds of love.
It's not just romantic love.
No, it's not. It's
about deeper than that.
Yeah, it's about the bond between Liriana and Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifices they make for each other.
The way they support each other.
Through everything.
It's a love that's been through the fire.
Ugh,
you know,
it has.
And come out stronger.
And then there's the love between sisters.
Yeah, Liriana and Mira.
That fierce loyalty.
They're always there for each other.
No matter what.
Unbreakable bond.
And then you have the friendships.
Yeah.
Like Liriana and Jules. Mm-hmm. They've known each other since childhood.
And their bond just gets deeper.
Through all the challenges.
Through everything.
It's a beautiful reminder that friendships can be just as powerful as any other kind of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's the love for a cause.
Oh, yeah.
The passion that drives these characters.
To fight for what they believe in.
Even when it's dangerous.
It's a love that transcends self-interest.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
about wanting a better world.
And it inspires them to make sacrifices.
To risk their lives, even for something bigger than themselves.
Okay, I want to shift gears a bit.
Yeah.
And talk about the antagonists in this book.
Oh, yeah, the bad guys.
Because they're not just like one-dimensional villains.
No, they're not.
They're complex.
They have their reasons.
Yeah, they're motivated.
And sometimes you even kind of feel for them.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit.
It's that moral ambiguity.
Yeah, exactly.
That Alice does so well.
She shows us their humanity. You know, the backstories, the choices that led them to where they are.
Like with the Devin Hart.
Ryan's father.
Yeah, he's a manipulator. He's power hungry.
He's not a good guy.
No, he's not.
But there are moments where you see...
a glimpse of something else.
Yeah, like the father he could have been.
Right.
If things had been different.
If he had made different choices.
He's a tragic figure in a way.
Yeah, he is.
Someone who let ambition and resentment consume him.
It makes him even more terrifying.
Yeah, because you see that potential for good.
But it's twisted.
It is.
And then there's Cain.
Oh, yeah, the Arcturian.
He's just brutal.
Ruthless.
But even with him.
Yeah.
You sense that pain and loneliness that drive him.
Like he wants connection.
Yeah.
But it's warped into something destructive.
It's scary.
It is. He represents the dark side of power, you know?
Yeah.
Unchecked ambition.
It's a warning.
It is.
About what can happen.
When people like that gain power.
But it's not just about the individual antagonists either.
Right.
There's this whole system of oppression in place.
That reinforces inequality.
Yeah.
And injustice.
It's like a commentary on our own world.
It is.
It's not just about defeating one bad guy.
It's about changing the system.
Dismantling the structures.
That allow those bad guys to thrive.
And fighting for a more just society.
It's a fight that takes many forms, you know?
Yeah. There are the physical battles, of course.
The epic showdowns.
But there are also the quieter battles.
The internal struggles.
The choices that the characters make.
The ways they resist oppression.
And fight for what they believe in.
And those quieter battles, they're just as important.
They're the ones that shape who these characters are.
Exactly.
And one of the things that Mally does so well is show how those choices, they have a ripple effect.
They do.
Even small acts of courage can have a huge impact.
It's inspiring.
It is.
It reminds us that we all have the power to make a difference.
Even when things seem impossible.
Our choices matter.
They do.
And we can choose to do good in the world.
You know, as we've been talking.
Yeah.
I've been really struck by Malice's writing.
Oh, yeah. She's a fantastic writer.
The way she weaves together action and romance and political intrigue and...
and philosophy.
It's amazing.
It is. Her prose is beautiful.
It flows so well.
Her characters are so vivid.
Yeah, you really feel like you know them.
And the way she explores these complex themes.
Yeah.
While still keeping the story engaging and entertaining.
It's impressive.
It is. She's a master storyteller.
Okay, I have to ask,
mm-hmm.
what's one of your favorite scenes in the book?
Oh, that's a tough one.
There's so many good ones.
There are.
But if you had to choose, what would it be?
You know the scene that always sticks with me?
Yeah.
Is the confrontation between Liriana and Chivil.
Oh, yeah.
Near the end.
The final battle.
It's just epic, you know?
It is.
Stakes are so high.
Life or death for everyone.
And the way Malice describes the fight.
Yeah.
between these two powerful forces.
It's breathtaking.
It is.
It's like good versus evil.
Yeah, but it's also about the choices they've made.
Yeah, the paths they've taken.
That have led them to this
mess. And the outcome. Mm-hmm. It's so satisfying.
But also kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. Because even in victory, there's loss.
There is.
There's sacrifice.
And there's a long road to recovery.
It's a reminder that life is complicated.
It is.
There aren't always easy answers.
And even when you fight for what's right,
yeah,
things don't always work out the way you hope.
But it's also a reminder that we're not alone.
We're not.
We have each other.
We do.
And even in the darkest times, there's hope.
There is.
There's love.
Oh.
And there's the possibility of redemption.
Speaking of redemption,
yeah,
let's talk about Tristan for a second.
Okay.
He starts out as this kind of unsympathetic character.
Yeah.
Bound by duty.
And stuck in a loveless marriage.
But as the story goes on,
we see him change.
He starts to question things.
He starts to realize that there might be more to life.
Yeah.
Than what he's been told.
His journey is one of the most surprising parts of the book.
It is.
He goes from this kind of privileged nobleman.
Yeah.
To someone who's willing to risk everything.
For what he believes in.
For the people who cares about.
And his relationship with Lyriana.
Yeah.
Even though it's not romantic.
Right.
It plays a huge role in his transformation.
It does.
He learns from her.
Yeah.
He's inspired by her.
He sees a different way of being.
And he finds his own path to redemption.
Through his actions.
And his sacrifices.
It's a reminder that even those who seem to have it all.
Yeah.
Can still be lost.
They can.
And searching for meaning.
And it's never too late to find your own path, you know?
Never too late to change.
Exactly.
To make amends for your mistakes.
And to become a better person.
And it's also a reminder that redemption doesn't have to be this big dramatic thing.
Sometimes it's about the little things.
Yeah.
The small acts of kindness.
The choices we make every day.
The way we treat each other.
It all adds up.
It does.
You know, as we've been talking,
yeah,
I've been thinking about how Malice uses foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah. She's really good at it.
She drops these little hints.
Throughout the book.
And then when you go back and reread it, it's like, oh, wow.
She was setting us up the whole time.
Yeah. She's so clever.
She is.
Like with Mira's true identity.
Oh, yeah.
There are these little moments.
Where you sense something is off.
Yeah. But you don't know what it is.
And then it all clicks.
And the way she reveals it.
The timing is perfect.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
It does.
Makes you want to reread the whole book.
With a new perspective.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about the plot, the characters, the themes, the writing style.
A lot of ground covered.
But what about the ending?
It's not your typical happy ending.
No, it's not.
But it's satisfying.
It is.
And thought-provoking.
It leaves you with questions?
Yeah.
With a sense of uncertainty.
Yeah. The journey isn't over, you know?
No, it's not.
The world is still changing.
It's an ending that acknowledges that life is messy.
Yeah.
That there aren't always easy answers.
And that even when you win,
yeah,
there's still work to do.
There are still consequences.
But it's hopeful too, you know?
It is.
Because even though the characters have been through so much, they come out stronger.
They've learned from their experiences.
And they're ready to face the future.
Whatever it may hold.
Exactly.
It's an ending that makes you think.
Yeah.
And it leaves you wanting more.
It does.
And isn't that the mark of a truly great book?
I think so.
Okay, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
What is it about Warrior of the Drowned Empire that really speaks to you?
You know what I love most about this book?
Yeah.
Is how Malice creates this world that feels both fantastical and familiar.
Yeah.
It's full of magic and adventure, but it also deals with real world issues.
And the characters feel like people you could know.
They do.
It's a world that you want to get lost in.
It's immersive and thought-provoking.
It stays with you.
It does.
All right, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive, we want to hear from you.
What are your thoughts on Warrior of the Drowned Empire?
What are your favorite moments?
What are your burning questions?
What do you think is going to happen next?
Let us know in the comments.
We love hearing from you guys.
And don't forget to like and subscribe.
To stay up to date with our discussion.
We'll be back soon with the final part of our deep dive.
All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Warrior of the Drowned Empire.
Feels like we've been talking for hours.
I know, right? But it's such a good book. So much to talk about.
So much to unpack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've talked about the plot, the characters, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now I want to focus on, like, the bigger picture. How this book connects to, you know, being human.
Oh, I like that.
Because it's more than just a fantasy story, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's about real emotions, real relationships.
Sort of struggles.
Yeah. Like, one thing that hit me hard was how resilient these characters are.
Oh, yeah. They go through so much.
So much pain, loss, betrayal.
It's brutal.
It is. But they keep going. They keep fighting. They don't give up.
It's inspiring.
It is. It shows the strength of the human spirit.
That we can overcome anything.
Yeah. And they don't do it alone, you know?
No, they have each other.
They find strength in their friendships and their love for each other.
It's a reminder that we need connection.
That we need people in our lives.
Absolutely. People who support us, who believe in us.
Exactly. And it's not just about taking support. It's about giving it, too.
That's true.
Showing up for others, being there when they need you.
Like Liriana does for Jules.
Oh, yeah. When she rescues her best friend. Talk about courage.
She risks everything for her friend.
She does. It shows what real friendship means.
Putting someone else's needs before your own.
And it shows that even small acts of kindness can make a difference.
They can.
They can inspire hope.
You know, as we're talking, I'm thinking about the symbolism in the book.
Oh, yeah, like the Valinumir.
Exactly. It's more than just a powerful object.
It's like a symbol of hope for the whole empire.
Of unity, of a better future.
Yeah. It represents the balance they've lost.
And the quest to bring the shards together. It's like this metaphor, right?
Totally. A journey towards healing, towards wholeness.
And then there's all the water imagery.
Oh, yeah. The drowned empire, the floods, the rain.
What do you think that represents?
I don't know. It's powerful, right?
Yeah.
Water can be destructive.
It can also be cleansing.
It can drown you, but it can also give life.
It's like the two sides of human nature.
Yeah, the darkness and the light.
The potential for both destruction and renewal.
Okay, let's talk about the ending. Because it's not your typical happily ever after.
No, it's not tied up in a neat little bow.
It leaves you with questions.
It does.
A sense of uncertainty. Like, the journey's not over yet.
It reflects how life really is.
Messy and unpredictable.
But it's hopeful, too.
Yeah. Even though the characters have been through so much.
They've learned from it.
They've grown stronger.
They're ready for whatever comes next.
It's an ending that makes you think about possibilities.
Yeah, what could happen next?
What choices they'll make?
It keeps the story alive in your mind.
All right, so we've reached the end of our deep dive into Warrior of the Drowned Empire.
It feels like we've only scratched the surface.
I know, there's so much more we could talk about.
But hopefully, we've given you some food for thought.
Inspired you to check out the book, if you haven't already.
It's a book that stays with you.
Big thanks to everyone for joining us on this journey.
We appreciate you listening.
We hope you enjoyed exploring the depths of Warrior the Drowned Empire with us.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Be sure to let us know what you think. What were your favorite moments?
What questions do you still have?
Hit us up in the comments. We love hearing from you.
And don't forget to like and subscribe for more deep dives into amazing books.
Until next time, happy reading.